Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
7:44 is the time we have had on this show a sudden infusion of GMs.
Yes.
Literally simultaneously. The Mr. Ruben DeMaio Jr., the former Phillies GM. How you doing, Rube?
Good morning, guys.
You thrilled to be here today?
Thrilled.
Overwhelmed by it.
Can't
and
wait.
On the line with us is a man who is also a GM in this town, the great Billy King. Hi, Billy.
Good morning. Good morning, Ruben.
Good morning, Billy. How you doing, babe?
I'm good. Good to see you.
Good to hear your voice. Good to hear your voice again.
What you're hearing right now is stereo GMs. All right, Billy, I'll start with you since we got you out alive for this. Billy Donovan was not selected. He ended up going to Chicago. Could you restate for our audience why Billy Donovan would have been a good choice for the Sixers?
Well, first I heard Andy the Troll before I came on, and he was talking that Billy Donovan had Harden. Harden was gone way before Billy Donovan got there, and then Durant left soon. State the fact, I just think Billy Donovan has proven that he can coach. He did it in college with winning back-to-back championships, and he had guys that were were pros in the NBA and played well in the NBA. And I think when he went to Oklahoma City, there was a tremendous pressure to try to win right away. He had difficult personality, and Westbrook and guy played a certain way, and he has a winning record in from college to pros. So I just think that. And he played in the NBA, and he played for Rick Pitino. I think he had a lot of the pedigree that you want in a coach, and his demeanor on the sidelines to me was tremendous. Never showed up players, always had a different game plan. And they changed how they were going to play their roster numerous times, and they still won when people doubted them, especially this year. They brought in Chris Paul, and everybody had written them off, and they won again. So I think he's proven now that he can coach in college and pros. And I know he said, who has won? He hasn't won anything. Well, anybody you look at, Ty Lue, Mike D'Antoni, none of those guys have won a championship. So what you're basing on is what they've done with the different variety of rosters that they have, and he's done that. Mike, and I love D'Antoni as a guy, but he plays a certain way. He doesn't adjust. He's going to shoot threes and outscore you.
Billy, here's the problem I got, and maybe you can help me with this. I tried to put myself in Billy Donovan's shoes. The Bulls, 22-43. They do not have two foundation pieces like Ben and Joel, and he chose to go there.
Exactly.
Why? Is it an indictment of the Sixers organization? Why would he choose that?
No. And I heard Al was right. I mean, he has a better chance to build there. You only can go up from there. I mean, and they've got young pieces. They have flexibility. They can make trades. They can do a lot of things there. And so going there, all you got to do is, try to build with that group, and if you have pieces you don't like, they're easy to move because their contracts are movable because they're lower. And if you look at the history of Larry Brown, everywhere he went was a program that people thought couldn't win. They were downtrodden, and he was able to take them to a higher level, and he was looked at as a great coach, and he proved it by winning. Coming here, the next step, you've got to get them to this, the conference finals, or you're a failure because they've gotten to the second round. So you've got to take them to the next step. And it's a roster that can't really – there's not a lot of changes you can make with it. So, and then you have players that are established and how they want to play. So you've got to try to break habits. It's going to be a difficult task. And Chicago, to me, he has a better chance of just building slowly and with a young talent, and they can make changes.
All right. I don't have to tell you that it's upsetting to be with your quoting Al on basketball. But let me go a step further, Billy, and say Al also said that it's not all that appealing to coach two players like Ben and Joel, who are very set in their ways. So if you're looking at this job, are you saying to yourself, that's too much trouble. I'm not sure I can get through to those guys. Is that a negative or a positive having two stars on your team?
It's a difficult task. You know, you can say it's a negative, but I think it's a difficult task to come in because they are set and entrenched in how they want to play. It's not like baseball. If you have a pitcher that you know you can who's been a pitcher a certain way, you know, it's easy to say, hey, let's you know. Maybe we want to try to do this or that, and they may adjust. In basketball, these guys are going to play the way they played. And I said before, it doesn't matter the coach that comes in. It's on the players to change how they want to play. They've got to change how they approach it in order for this organization to win. It's, you know, because the coach is going to come in and give them the guidance, but players win games. And I said that about Chris Paul. Chris Paul went there. He could have been disgruntled, traded from Houston, going to Oklahoma City, a rebuilding team. And he went there and said, no, we're going to win. And he took them to game seven against Houston. So it's, you know, if they pick Ty Lue, if they pick Mike D'Antoni, it's going to be upon the players to say, okay, it's upon us to win because you can't keep changing coaches. At some point, the players got to take some kind of responsibility in this.
All right. But there's another element to this, Billy, that's mind-boggling. I just played Elton Brand saying they got to restructure the organization. It's not working the way it is. They haven't done anything, and they're in a coaching hunt. Does it seem like that's backwards? Soon you fix your organization, they get your coach?
Well, generally when it happens, and, you know, we're going to talk about this, but when I've been in a position to hire a coach, you know, my staff and I, we came up with a list, and we interviewed him and made a recommendation to the owner, and owner approved it or didn't supervise. I mentioned earlier a couple weeks ago when it was Tubby Smith was the guy that I had targeted and done a lot of research on, presented to Ed. Ed liked it. We interviewed him and offered him a job. He accepted and changed his mind. So if Elton is the guy and he's going to be making the final decision, then, you know, he can do a lot of the research himself and have those guys do a lot of the legwork. But, you know, if he's the guy, then he's got to make the recommendation to ownership and they got to sign off on it.
All right, Billy, one other thing. I know there's a fraternity of general managers, and I'm testing this right now with both you and Ruben. Here's what I need to remember. The Phillies are in another collapse. Three straight years. Billy King, is Matt Klentak a good general manager?
Looking at the situation, the results, it hasn't worked.
That's a no.
I will interpret that for him. That is a no.
That was a no. Is that correct, Billy? Is that fair?
Well,
I don't want to misquote you.
Being a Phillies fan, I'm frustrated, so no.
Okay. Now I turn to the former Phillies GM, Ruben Amaro.
This is a shocking question.
Ruben Amaro.
I've been thinking about this for
45
minutes.
I got an honest answer out of Billy Keg, Ruben. Ruben,
I tried to help you, Ruben.
Is Matt Klentak a good GM?
I think he's trying to do everything he possibly can.
No, that's not the organization. That is not. That's enough. Rhea, I need your interpretation of that.
He doesn't want to say. But deep down inside,
it's a no. Billy, you're in the mile, right, Bill?
What time? 7:50, 8 o'clock?
That's when Ruben comes in. He's got a better agent than you do. Billy, we'll see you tomorrow, mate. Thanks,
all right,
pal. All right, Rube, situation, I mean, did you watch the doubleheader yesterday?
Yeah, I did. Obviously, there's some high expectations for this year. You know, Matt brought in JT Realmuto. He signed Wheeler. I think that there were some flaws in the club in that there was not the starting pitching that needed to be addressed. They had two very good starting pitchers. They had Jake Arrieta coming back off of an injury. You didn't know what you're going to get out of him. And then you had question marks in 3, 4, and 5. So I think the whole pitching situation was something that was not addressed probably as it should have been. And they had some injuries. Coupled that with some injuries. And, you know, it's not a recipe for success when you don't have the kind of quality pitching that is necessary to be a championship-caliber club.
Rube, I need your input on something on my job. All right? Can you help me with this?
Yeah, sure.
I'm here every day reacting to what's going on in sports in Philadelphia. And the general manager of the Phillies does a Zoom call. And on the Zoom call, in the midst of a horrendous collapse, the team falling apart at the key moment, Gabe Kapler, now ahead of Joe Girardi, all right? When he says this comment, how am I, as a talk show host, who cares about his credibility, going to react? Joe?
I am really proud of this team.
Can't imagine you would take something like this out of context.
It's not out of context. Not out of context.
I heard. I saw.
Not out of context. He also said the bullpen's getting better now. He could see that. That was great last night.
I saw that. Yeah. I did see the press conference.
What am I supposed to do?
And he is proud of how they've handled this COVID situation.
That's not what he said.
I'm not sure if he's proud of how they played. Because they can't be proud of how they played because they played like crap. I mean, it's very simple.
All right.
That's very simple.
Now we're getting somewhere. We got 2 hours to get the truth out of this guy. And we will. but one thing you got to admit. I mean, you knew near the end it was probably ending for you, right?
I had a pretty good idea.
All right.
I had a pretty good idea that you were ousting me.
What's that like?
I didn't really focus on it very much. I mean, my job was to try to make sure the team was better. You know, we were in the middle of doing pretty important trades and still trying to do my job. I mean, listen, I got fired from the Phillies, but I still love the Phillies. I want to stop doing my job.
Right.
You know, so that's I get it. I understand.
It should in some way comfort you to know no one in the city now thinks you're their worst GM ever. No one is. Matt's on the line. Hi, Matty. I'm being honest.
I'm not the worst ever. That's good.
You're not the worst ever.
I used to
call you that, and I feel terrible now because I saw far worse than you ever did.
I'm sure you didn't sleep. You didn't lose any sleep over it.
No. I lost a ton of sleep.
What do you think, guy?
No meals either.
No. I told you. You didn't hear the part of the show where I said I'm trying to be more positive. I want to live a longer life.
Oh, I heard it.
Oh, you did. All right, Matt's out of life for Mayfield. Hi, Matt.
Good morning, Angelo. How's everybody doing today?
Well, tell me how you're doing.
So, you know what, Angelo? This is what keeps me awake at night. Not the third straight collapse of this baseball team. That's not what keeps me awake at night. What keeps me awake at night is the narrative of the year of 2020. This question, or this question is basically for you and Al. So in about a month from now, how does this headline grab you? The 2020 World Series champion, San Francisco Giants.
That will not happen.
And let me say, I will leave the business if that happens.
Don't say that.
No, I will leave the – listen to me. If Gabe Kapler is in a parade a month from now, I am retired. You got me, Matt?
Listen, Angelo, I agree with you, but in every other year I would be on board. But this year, 2020, the disgrace and disaster this year has been.
I got to admit, if ever it would have happened, it would be a nightmare of a year, Matt. I get you. Matt, what makes you happy?
That's an easy one. The most beautiful creature in the world, Miss Ava Graham.
Ava Graham makes you happy? Ava's that a yes?
Wow.
Hold on. He's playing right there. Ava, you're the judge. Oh. Ava, you make Matt happy.
That's really very nice. So, yeah,
give him a spin.
Bit, but...
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking
about. That was very nice of you.
Thank you. Very nice. She didn't make me happy.
Phillies McDonald's opening night 2020 T-shirt because it was a great year.
Can we go back to opening night and start over?
Yeah, Al. Oh, yeah. This one thing I really want. I want to remember this year. Terry's on the line. That's next from West Philly. Hi, Tara. Terry, are you there? Terry is not there. Goodbye to Terry. I'll try George next. Hi, George.
Hey, Angelo, how's it going, man?
Oh, well, George, I just said before, I'm doubling my dose of my antidepressants. I can't take it. This is a horrible week, George.
Well, I was one of the people that watched every pitch of both games yesterday.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I share your feelings with us. George, you're a sucker for punishment. Tell me what you felt. What were you experiencing?
Well, it's gotten to the point where you watch the games to see how many different ways they can lose.
Well,
then the funny part of it is you have somebody as great as John Kruk to make it enjoyable. And then in between games, when they went back before the start of the second game, Kruk says, we got a bottle of wine and we got some beers and there's a sandwich over there and we're going to get to it pretty soon.
Yeah,
so that's
I heard
the way
him
you
say
have
that.
To look at it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.